Here's one from Tiana Taylor. This is brand new. It's called Maybe. Maybe Baby. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget our BSP-a-thon happening on Friday at noon Pacific.
Yo.
What's that?
Yo.
Say what?
Hey, you know what it is, shout it. Maybe, maybe it's the money, baby, maybe not. Maybe I fell in love with you on the spot.
See, this gets
never
a lot of people
keep
nervous.
G, I told you that they're off the top.
You have a fair number, and I'm not saying that they're racist, but you do have a fair number of white middle-class males in your audience,
Phil.
Yes, I know that. I know all about the white middle-class males in my audience, and a lot of this music may turn them off. But the fact of the matter is, it is my job to drag them into the modern culture as much as I possibly... You can't sit around in your garage playing Pipeline for the rest of your life. You must. You simply must.
Yeah, I admit it. All in my feelings.
Listen to this.
Had to pause, nigga. Wait a minute. Almost tapped out when you started
swinging. She just used the N-word, does she? Yes, she did.
Cocky, I could deal with that.
Here's this woman on the Word Network. Is this the woman whose jaw you said was shaped in such a manner so as to indicate...
I didn't say anything of the sort, Margaret.
Well, I beg to differ. Yes, you did.
I didn't say her jaw was,
This is that Marilyn Hickey. For God's sake. For God's sake.
Let's turn it off, Mr. Henry. No. All right, Tiana Taylor here with Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll keep playing that, and maybe we won't. Maybe it's a little too R&B for me. Welcome to our program. No, what is it?
This woman that is on the TV right now, she has the jaw that you say may look like... It looks as if she's developed certain muscles. How do I put this?
I can't...
No, bud, you're not going to do anything. What?
Oh, so I'm in the spotlight, is that it?
Yeah, Ms. Gray, you're the one that brought it up.
I'm the one that brought it up, and you're going to make me describe this.
You are talking about a lady on TV whose jaw muscles look like they've been developed.
Yes, go ahead.
No, you're going to finish it.
Weren't you talking about Marilyn Hickey?
No, I was not talking about... What? I wasn't talking about Marilyn. I think it was that other guy, Dr. Ed Elcott, by the way.
That's Dr. Elcott. Yes, that's the one.
Now, Dr. Elcott, Phil... isn't he going to be guest hosting the program?
No. Well, Dr. Elcott is going to be on... The Dr. Elcott show will be on Friday.
What do you mean, the Dr. Elcott show?
Dr. Elcott will be guest hosting on Friday because we're carving out a space for him because of the magnificent response we've had.
So, in other words, excuse me.
Margaret, come on, will you?
No. Pardon me, but I want to go and get some milk for my coffee, if you don't mind, if it hasn't gone bad... and tastes like bad clam dip.
Miss Gray, I think there's some clam dip there.
Did I say I wanted clam dip?
Hold on. So on Friday, yeah, it's going to be Ed Elcott on the program. He will be guest hosting for an hour, hour and a half, with the Elcott The Next Step Hour. It was such a smash hit among our great many listeners and BSPs combined that we've decided to bring him back. So that will be happening on whatever the hell it is, Friday, yeah. Also on Friday, it's our BSP-a-thon. It starts at 12 noon. It goes all the way until 12 midnight. Who knows, it may go longer. I don't know. I don't care. I do. But when I say I don't care, I hope it goes longer. But who will be here in the studio to actually monitor that? No one. We'll all be passed out drunk someplace because it is the summertime. It is the weekend, and that means beer.
Hey.
Thank you. Cut. In other news... One of the things we failed to mention...
You're going to talk about Casey Kasem, Phil. You hadn't mentioned the van yesterday, and I think it behooves you to.
Right. Well, I was going to.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
I'm a general, thank you very much. What, are you going to call me Professor?
Well, yeah, I get you mixed up with Professor Clayton.
Say, what is it, man? All of a sudden I got a tan? Why do you mix me up with Professor Clayton?
You're talking about a tan, General. I'm just saying. You guys are both older and everything.
Well, Professor Clayton is an African-American. He's a good man, but obviously I'm not.
Yeah, you're not a good man.
Oh, babe.
All right, hold on now. God almighty. He made a simple mistake.
Well, calling me a professor of urban studies... Now, listen, I'm not a racist or anything, but I'd rather go to my death as a general of the United States Army, retired, than some guy standing there in a plaid jacket... And a fading afro, and a ridiculous-looking afro that should have been cut years ago,
All right, I got it already, okay? What, are you going to give me the stereotype of the old activist black professor who now is looking decidedly out of it.
Well, yeah, you see a lot of these guys. Let me just say one thing to our distinguished African-American professors. Shave off the afro because it's looking ratty, you know.
All right. Well, then I would say the same thing about the white professors. Take your hair out of the ponytail and get with it.
Yeah, no kidding about that on a ponytail.
It looks pretty stupid.
Were you talking about older men wearing ponytails? I want in on this.
Okay. What do you want to say?
No, I want to just sit and listen to it.
Did you find cream?
No, I did not find cream. I found this creamer. I found this dairy creamer. I don't like it. I think it probably causes cancer. I'll bet if I fed this to any of the many rats that you most likely have running around here, Phil.
Hey, Margaret, that is not fair. We don't have any rats around here.
I'm joking, but the outside of this place, when you walk into this place, Frank dropped me off one day, and he said, I'm leaving you here, Margaret. Take shelter underneath some of that garbage over there. I'll try to get help. And that's why I had to call him as he was racing off to a police precinct. I said, Frank, I'm fine. This is where Phil does his show. And he said, in that garbage heap you're hiding in or in the building? I said, in the building. Now,
I heard the story, and Frank said he was kidding. He told me the whole thing and said he was kidding.
Well, he told me the whole thing and said he was kidding, too, but I thought I'd see if I could sell it.
All right, so anyway, you don't like the creamer.
No, I don't like the creamer. Do you use that?
I don't like the... Yeah, I do. I don't prefer it, but I use the dairy creamer.
Yeah, I did, in a pinch.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, all it does is whiten the coffee up, man. It doesn't give it that good, creamy... You know, the texture, what? Don't you look at me like that. Because I'm warning you, Dickman.
I didn't do Robert's doing the same thing.
Well, I was warning when you said creamy.
I said creamy, that's all I said. Jesus H. Are you ready for this? I can't even talk about having cream in my coffee without these guys looking at me like, you look like a couple of guys. You look like two village idiots that missed the cart that was taking them off to Bedlam. And I can tell you...
All right. The creamer in the coffee is, this is something that is a man or a woman's own choice. Me, I like a little bit of that half and half. That's what I use.
Right there. That's, I like the half and half. Or the 2% milk.
Yeah. I like the half and half. I don't use the half and half. I use skim milk, you know.
Every time you go to Starbucks, what do you ask for?
When I go to Starbucks now, man, I get a regular coffee. I don't drink any of that latte jazz every now and again. But, dude, you got to understand something, man. I don't eat or drink or I don't do anything. You know, the way I used to.
You gotta eat, drink, you know, have sex and everything.
I wanna kick...
Hey! Whoa, get out of here. Watch it, Margaret.
Don't grab me, Phil.
I'm gonna keep on grabbing as long as you keep trying...
Yeah, go ahead, Stutter. What was that? God.
I'm gonna keep on grabbing you as long as you try to keep crawling across the table here. What is it about this woman on TV?
This man was gonna say, the lady on TV... had got jaw muscles that are developed in the lower...
I'll do it, Robert. Her jaw is extending out. The lower teeth extend out. That generally means when a woman's lower teeth extend out, when she talks like that, it generally means...
Oh, are you talking about...
Shut up. I'm talking to Phil. It generally means...
Well, Jesus, you know something, Margaret? For a woman that wants to be clean and crisp and unfettered... You doing that whole...
Yeah, Margaret, making sound effects like it.
Well, what do you want me to say, Phil?
You could have said it's a woman. And by the way, I think that is a terrible thing to say about a fellow female just because... Marilyn Hickey's jaw is the same way.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Oh, my God. So you're saying that Marilyn Hickey and other lady are... they're gobbing it?
Did I say gobbing it, you little...
Hey! Missed me.
No, I didn't miss you. I just decided to pull up. I decided, if you'll forgive the phrase, pull out. That's the female version, which is, I held up on the right hand. It almost landed right in your eyeball.
Yeah, you had that ring on your finger, too.
You know, if you ever connect with that big ring that Frank gave you, you're going to do some damage.
Bingo. Oh, you guys are finally getting it.
I think that that's a terrible thing to say, and you don't know that for sure.
Well, it was brought up yesterday by yourself, Phil. You said that one woman on this show... Her lower jaw was developed to the point where she was probably... I didn't say gobbing it, did I?
No, you didn't say gobbing it, but when you go whole wall, what do you want me to say? It sounds exactly like what it... But I'd rather hear Bud say I'm gobbing it, you know?
I don't gob it!
Hey, get a load of that. He says that Bud gobs it.
Damn, you got chopped down. Shut up.
I didn't mean that, Bud. I'm sorry. All right, let's get into this turd that we call a radio show, okay?
Your words to lips, to lips is, what did I just, God damn it, I messed it all up.
Your words to lips's ears?
Now, were you trying to say your lips to God's ears, right?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Don't you dare laugh at me.
Yeah, but you said your words to lips' ears.
Mark, can I say something here? I know it was a mistake, Margaret, but when you say your words to lips, is that your nickname for God?
No, it is not my nickname for God.
Well, that's what it sounded like. And you're making fun of Marilyn Hickey because she may gob cone, she may not.
Would you please?
Do we have to use these? We're talking about a...
Talking about what? We're talking about some broad on television. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but why are we talking disrespectfully about her? She never did anything to you or to me.
You're the guy that brought up, does Marilyn Hickey gob it or not? Now, I'm telling you...
Yeah, that's what you gotta...
Shut up. I didn't say that at all. And I didn't even bring up the thing with this lady here that we're looking at. I brought... You did, Margaret.
I brought it up in the context of whether or not the cone... Forget it.
The cone?
Yes, I'm trying to find a clean way of saying this. Because, you know, our filth file is getting really overstocked, ladies and gentlemen, and so many of you are doing such yeoman work. We're going to have to start to cull some of this. I don't want to have to say the lady on TV is giving oral to her husband. She's a religious woman.
Okay.
So the woman, let's say if we're talking about Marilyn Hickey, Marilyn Hickey's relationship to cone gob.
Nah, that sounds just as bad.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. God. Marilyn Hickey's relationship to cone gob. Fuck.
Yeah, Margaret, you know, you got to clean that way up. You got to clean it way up.
All right. I would love to keep talking about this, but we have other stuff that we have to do. A woman's body was found in a freezer at her Indiana home. That's some big, big news. Also, Obama has signed an order prohibiting discrimination against gays in the workplace, so that'll probably piss off a few people, because it's one more thing that Obama's done that is... And did you watch the soccer yesterday?
I know Frank was watching it.
The game, I must have turned it on at the right time, because I was watching this game. I was watching the game about, maybe three-quarters of the way through. I tuned it in where there was about 50 minutes, maybe 60 minutes... gone in the game. So there was a good half hour left. And the U.S. led 1-0. But that's when the fun began, man, because the U.S. seemed to be on their heels throughout this game. They've got a German coach. I don't remember this guy's name. But he seemed like such an affable guy. Knows that they interviewed him afterwards. And he's the first guy to coach a U.S. soccer team to a win over Ghana here in the first round since I don't know how many years back, but the last two, which would have made it 2010 and 2006, the U.S. got bumped out of the World Cup by this very Ghana team. So, you know.
So what does this mean now?
Yeah, what is this? What's the story? I thought you could lose these.
You can. This is an opening round. The key is to get points. But you don't necessarily have to win in the opening round. I think there's three games. There's a certain point total you need, but the U.S. opens up with 3 points. That's huge, as opposed to just one, which is what you get for a tie. So the World Cup is underway there in Brazil. The U.S. will give you more information on that. As I mentioned, we got Ed Elcott coming up on Friday. We do have special guests today, Bud, but you haven't given me the list.
But I know we got Jay Santos on. I'm going to come on.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Rudy Canoza is also going to be with us. And if I'm not mistaken, is Cliff King going to be back?
Oh, Cliff King is wonderful. Why have we not had him back?
No, Cliff King is going to be back. Cliff is the horse trainer general.
Oh, that guy is... There's something off about that guy. Are you crazy or something? He's bending metal around his head.
Yeah, that's the guy who's bending steel bar around his head.
Yes, well, Cliff, I don't know about that, but Cliff is going to recap the Triple Crown, which was just the entire three-race Triple Crown, which was just run, and which, of course, California Chrome came up short looking for that Triple Crown, was not able to snatch the prize. Cliff King will be our guest coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So stick around. We'll be right back. And remember, with a backstage pass, you are privy to all of the archived audio that we have at philhenryshow.com. What kind of audio? How good? How deep? How big? How throbbing? How stiff? Listen to our BSP-a-thon free on Friday starting at noon. For 12 solid hours, we will be rolling archived material from the Phil Henry Show website. This is going to be the very biggest audio comedy event in the history of the world as we know it, as we see it, as we seem it, as we feel it.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. Coming up next is Cliff King, horse trainer, a man who is a friend to everyone, Cliff King, wandering the streets of San Pedro, California.
Hey friends, General Galen Shaw here for OrthoGrow. Not the kind that grows grass, not the kind that grows roses. OrthoGrow can actually make you bigger. Yes, OrthoGrow is for you skinny pencil neck dorks who can't seem to put on the weight where it really counts. And where does that weight count? Well, two places. You want big guns and below the waist, you got it. Now, you can use that penis pump. You can do that whole extends thing, which I don't think works. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that it doesn't work. But OrthoGrow not only fattens your you-know-what, it makes your arms bigger. So when she sees the big arms and she thinks, yeah, this guy works out to overcompensate for something that he's missing, that's when you unzip and say, have a care, miss, have a care. Yes, it's OrthoGrow. OrthoGrow from the friendly people at
Penis Industries.
Look at you laughing. You're such a child, Phil.
What do you mean I'm a child?
Oh, you're over there going, Penis Industries.
Hey, listen, all I know is do I get the money on the...
Yes, you'll get paid.
I get the endorsement money, right?
Yes. All of you do. When you read a commercial here on the Phil Henry Show, you get your endorsement money. It's as simple as that. Well, welcome, folks. This is a Tuesday. It's a beauty. And I've had friends of mine back in Portland, back in Baltimore, Maryland. Our good, close, personal friend Lauren is back there. And Lauren has been out and about in the city of Baltimore enjoying a working woman's festival. Do you know what this is, Margaret?
Well, I don't have the particulars, but I know that it celebrates women in the Baltimore area, in the D.C., well, actually Baltimore, and they've gone to a lot of different festivities. A lot of different, I don't know, but she was sending back pictures of the beautiful little Baltimore areas. You know, Baltimore is often put down by people as some sort of a... some kind of almost a new mutant toilet bowl of a city. I'm here to tell you that while, yes, Baltimore is a slovenly, despicable pigsty of a city, it has its beautiful spots, and Frank and I would be going there and visiting this summer were we not afraid of obvious epidemic fever diseases and things like that. We could get inoculated.
All right, Margaret, I think you've done a really good job there running down Baltimore.
Yeah, no kidding.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, well, you know, Baltimore's a great city. If it weren't for the fact that it has epidemic diseases...
Phil, I'm trying to be careful. My husband is pushing 75, thank you. I cannot afford to lose him. If I lost Frank, I don't know.
Oh, would you stop already, Margaret? You're not going to lose him. You're making a big freaking thing. Baltimore, from what I've seen from the photographs and from some little videos, beautiful area, and lots of things to visit, lots of historical sites. That's my thing, you know. I'm a real dork for that stuff. You know, everybody else wants to run off and see, I don't know what, the botanical gardens or some jazz. I would rather go to an old building and take a look at it and say, wow, this is where, you know.
Yeah, where George Washington wrote the Star Spangled Banner and everything.
You out of your mind, man? George Washington wrote that.
George Washington didn't write the Star Spangled Banner.
But that's where it was written, though, right?
Yes, you're right, bud. The Star Spangled Banner was written as the British attacked Fort McHenry there on the point near Baltimore. It was written by Francis Scott Key.
And did he write the music too, or did he do that later?
The music for the Star Spangled Banner was written in a British. It's a British drinking song, you know.
What? Wait. Hold the phone, my friend. What are you talking about?
The Star Spangled Banner, the melody, is an old English drinking song.
An old, what?
What? So in other words, they were sitting in some dump in London Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, they're singing like drinking song, but it's a different song now.
Yeah, well, I know it's different, but still.
Yeah, they were singing it in a part, I don't know.
Well, what do you think the words? Oh, let's have a beer and take her panties off. God damn it.
Oh, yeah, that's what they were singing, sure.
General, would you please have some dignity and respect for a lady sitting here in the studio?
You know, there's a million jokes there, and I won't...
Don't go there.
I said there was a million, but I won't go there. That shows you how selfless I am. I could have gotten off a million cuties, but I said no. Galen, you won't do it. You'll let Margaret sit there and have her dignity. Oh, God.
All right, you really sacrificed to the comedy gods on that one, man. All right, so what are we talking about? We're talking about a drinking song in an English tavern. I have no idea what the words were.
Yeah, Mr. Andy, you figured, guys, also, I'm gonna have a...
Yeah, gonna have a cider and ha 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 and pee in a alley.
Yes, I'm shocked.
Oh, will you stop it? That's the way it was back then. Francis Scott Key wrote a poem. And the poem was, "O say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we, you know..." And there is the flag, and he wrote this poem. And the poem was published and gained traction as a beautiful testament to what had happened that night at Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. And Francis Scott Key, by the way, was a lawyer, and he was on board a British ship. And he was being held, technically, he was being held as a hostage by the British, so that the British could get back a prisoner of theirs being held by the Americans. This is what was done in those days. And he had, I think, either volunteered himself or was taken. I think he'd volunteered himself. But it was all a part of a negotiation that Francis Scott Key was involved in trying to get these prisoners exchanged, himself being the least of his worries. But he was sort of the security on this thing.
Now, wait a minute. This was a civilized... Britain was holding this man hostage.
It was kind of the way things were... They probably wouldn't have called it hostage. If we described to the British and the Americans of those days what we consider a hostage to be today, they would probably be appalled. Why, I say, sir, we'd never treat our prisoners that... You know, but that's exactly what it was. They probably thought, well, he's our guest, you know, while we begin to... Well, what if he wants to leave? Well, that wouldn't be convenient at this time. You know, kind of real dainty bullshit like that. So that's what Francis Scott Key was doing aboard that English warship when he looked up and he saw the assault on Fort McHenry and saw the bombs bursting in air. And as they exploded, they lit up the night sky briefly. And he would always look to see, is that flag there? There it is. It's still flying. And then another bomb would go off, and it would light up the sky. And look, you see, there's the flag still going. It's a little tattered, but it's not set on fire. The British haven't taken the fort. More to the point, it told him that the Americans were still inside the fort, and they hadn't taken it. And then another bomb would go off.
They've been done all the night long.
And this happened all night.
Yes, all night long, as Francis Scott Key...
Well, he must have gotten... Did he get a nap in the next day? I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure he did. All right, so anyway, we have Cliff King joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the aftermath, I would say, of the magnificence that is the Triple Crown. In the meantime, to give you a little bit of the background on what we were blathering about, the 2014 World Cup, John Brooks' header lifts Team USA over Ghana. What happened in this game, and then Clint Dempsey scores 34 seconds into the game. Clint Dempsey got the first goal, 1-0. And then throughout almost the entire game until the last, I don't know what it was, last 15 minutes, it was 1-0 U.S. Then Ghana came, as I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, all I got to do is hang on. Boom, Ghana ties it up. And seemed like the crowd was decidedly pro-American. There were more Americans in the crowd than there were people from Africa. But nonetheless...
Well, that's probably the Americans that got more money to spend and go down to World Cups. Than the Ghanaese people, you know.
The Guyanese.
No, not Guyanese. Ghana. The Ghanan people. How about that?
Ghanan people?
Yeah, well, whatever. But point being, the U.S. scores and they tie it up. And then came a corner kick. And this is one of the most amazing plays in all of soccer for me. It's a dangerous play, both offensively and defensively, because offensively... Unless you get your head or your leg or your foot or whatever on that ball as it's coming in from the corner, and it is somehow controlled by the defense, you've got free sailing. The defense is free sailing up the field because most of your players are pulled in for this corner kick. You've got a lot of people around the net. You've got a bunch of people jammed together in the middle there and a lot of other people on the periphery, someone looking to get a hold of that ball and put it in the net. And if your offensive team doesn't control the ball and it goes over to the defense in a situation like that, there's nobody back. There's nobody back to defend. And it's just a lone goalie that could be against, three or even four guys bearing down on him. This corner kick comes in. John Brooks looked to me like he was right square in the middle of the net, or I should say he was square to the net, or he was in the middle of the zone. And his shoulders were to one side. And as the ball came in, and he was being defended, he hit it with his head, and he angled it. The goalie was completely fooled. The goalie thought that it was probably coming straight in, and only at the last second did he dive to his right, because Brooks just sort of angled that ball to the left corner of the net. It went in, U.S. wins 2-1. It was a big win, because they'd been knocked out of the first round by Ghana in the last few years. So there you go.
Now, who is this German coach?
The German coach is... this guy has been fantastic. Jürgen Klinsmann. Jürgen Klinsmann... He recruited John Brooks. He was one of the coach's recruits. He came off the bench, Brooks did, as a halftime substitute to rescue the U.S. That, by the way, is the very first time a substitute has scored a goal in U.S. soccer team history.
Well, look, I don't understand any of this.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm just talking about this with the people that...
Yeah, but no one understands it, but when you say a substitute, is that the same thing as a guy that comes off the bench?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yes, that's a guy that... God.
Phil, no one knows what you're talking about. All we know is USA, USA. Now, I'm not one of these jingoistic people that goes, USA, USA, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know.
Oh, my gosh, she's rubbing herself, Mr. Henry.
I wasn't rubbing myself. How dare you?
Well, Margaret, what were you doing? You reached down and started doing the up and down motion with the hand.
I was rubbing my stomach to simulate God. You know, somebody somewhere, because I'm a lady, I hope somebody somewhere walks in here and just knocks both of you out with the swing of one fist. Just boom, boom. So you're lined up, you know. And
is he wearing a one percenter's patch?
Yes, that would be nice.
He's like Road Warrior?
Road Warrior would be good, yes.
Okay, and they come in off of motorcycles. They line Bud and I up perfectly.
Button up?
Bud and I up perfectly. Boom, boom. With one punch, both of us go down.
Well, Phil, I didn't think that carefully about it, but yes, that sounds very good.
Okay.
What are you going to do, set that up?
No, I'm not going to set it up. We have Cliff King that we're going to set up here. He's going to come in here in just a moment and talk to us. And Jay Sanis is going to be along later on in the program as well, talking about the summer months and what you need to do to stay, you know, protected. I was looking at, one other story here. Pete Rose managing to remain optimistic that he will get back into baseball. Do you know that Pete Rose is managing baseball right now? But he's managing baseball in an independent, non-affiliated baseball league, the Atlantic League. They are not affiliated with the Major League Baseball, organization, Major League Baseball. So he can manage.
What?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What it means is he's managing a baseball team in a league that is not affiliated with Major League Baseball.
Yes, but it is baseball, is it not?
Yes, it's baseball.
Then why is he allowed to do that? You see, Phil, that baseball said he was not allowed to gamble.
Baseball, Major League Baseball said he was not allowed to gamble. When you say baseball...
Baseball is the sport that the American... We've fought and died for that sport, so don't you start telling me...
Look, I've got to tell you something, Jim. You're going to be really disappointed, but you, Major League Baseball can't control every baseball league and every baseball team that ever was or ever will be, man. All they can say is this guy doesn't get to be in Major League... It's like the NBA. They ban Donald Sterling, but Donald Sterling can buy a team in another league if he wants to.
Well, what is the sense in it, then?
The sense is that he doesn't get to own a team in the NBA, the largest, most preeminent, most moneyed, most successful professional basketball league in history. That's what he doesn't get to be affiliated with. I think that that's a pretty significant penalty. Same thing with Pete Rose. So he can manage the Atlantic League's Lancaster Dog Boys. I don't know what the name of this team is.
Dog Boys?
I don't know what they're called. But it doesn't have anything to do with Major League Baseball. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I got one here from a new one from Chelsea Grin. It's called Clockwork.
Oh, this Chelsea Grin. These young men, they're, honest to God, I think they need to be tortured. I really do.
Why?
Because their music is so demonic, the only way to clean out their minds is to torture them almost to death. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, you just heard Margaret's prescription for cleaning up Chelsea Grin's minds. Torture the band members almost to death.
Well, listen to these cats. Listen to this demonism. Oh, my God. It's like they're coming into the... It's like they're walking into the laundry room carrying hatchets.
Yeah, down the laundry room and everything. So what about the Delmonico's?
I beg your pardon?
I think we hear the Delmonico's singing in this song.
You know what I ought to do? I ought to get up and cut one and then board the door up from the outside and make you sit and live in it, son. Live in it.
Yeah!
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm General Galen Shaw. And guys like this Chelsea Grin band, you know these guys right here? You know what I'd do? I'd waterboard their asses until someone came up and dropped a weapon on me. Jesus.
You are listening to the sound, the voice of the God that the terrorists prayed to before they flew the planes.
You shut up. All right, Chelsea Grin with one called Clockwork, and that is from their new album, Ashes to Ashes.
Yeah.
Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. The more you guys this Chelsea Grin, the more I like it. The more I'm going to want to play it.
Well, that's the way you are. You're a recalcitrant little boy. You react as a child.
Maybe, but that's kind of where I'm coming from. All right, Cliff King is on the line with us, and Cliff, a trainer from, Cliff has been a trainer from Los Alamitos, California, and points north and south, has been involved in the quarter horse business, and was also commenting on the opening stages of the Triple Crown when we were talking with Cliff about the Derby and about the Preakness, and Cliff, always good to have you on the line.
Cliff King, nice to be with you, Phil. You know, I'm everyone's friend, and everyone can trust Cliff King.
And are you still, are you having breakfast this morning?
I'm going to have breakfast. Angeline is here, and she always takes me over.
And who is Angeline?
Angeline, she drives you, right, Cliff?
Angeline drives me, and she always drives me over. I have a great time, and I've always been very blessed with friends I've had. And I do a lot of charity work.
Now, are you still training horses?
I also help out at the Boy Scout. Not the Boy Scouts, but the Girl Scouts. And
are you still training horses?
Also do some race car driving, too, in my spare time.
Right, sir, but are you still training horses?
What is that you said?
Are you still training horses?
Am I still training horses?
That's what you did in your professional life.
Yes, I did. Yes, and I still do. I still do. No, I don't train horses. I can't be around horses because I got kicked in the head, if you remember that.
I remember you had an accident. I just thought the last time we talked to you, you said you were still training horses.
I thought I was training horses, but it was a figment.
This is General Shaw, Cliff. How are you?
Hey, General. I'm very good.
And so you're not involved in thoroughbred racing?
Oh, I'm involved in thoroughbred racing, but Phil asked me, do I train horses? No, I don't. But I am involved in thoroughbred racing.
Well, what do you do in thoroughbred racing?
Well, I bet on the horses the way anyone else will. I'd love to sit near the paddock. And
so you're retired?
I'm retired, yes.
Okay. Talking to Cliff King. So did you watch the Triple Crown? Did you see the final races?
I did. I saw them. And, you know, I'm everyone's friend, so I go from town to town. And I visit and knock on doors and go in. And
I want to ask a question here, Cliff. I don't mean to interrupt you, but what do you mean you go from town to town?
That's what I said. I'm Cliff King, everyone's friend. I go from town to town, knock on doors, go inside, watch the race, spread a bit of good cheer. I leave a little bit of the Johnny Appleseed. We'll call it Johnny Appleseed. What Johnny Appleseed did is he spread the apple seeds. But what I do is I just take out of my little satchel that I always carry with me some dust, some dirt from the roadways and from the areas, the fields, and I sprinkle it in the home that I'm in, and then I leave. And I go from town to town.
Are you walking or are you driving?
Today? I think someone's going to pick me up.
No, I mean, when you go from town to town.
No, I'm driving. Hey, General, get a load of him. Where'd you find this guy anyway?
Yeah, well, Phil sometimes doesn't get it.
No, I'm driving.
All right, but I mean, you're saying you're going from town to town with a satchel of... What do you have?
I have a satchel that approximates the Johnny Appleseed. Only it's not appleseed, it's dirt. And I sprinkle it in the house. See, my whole goal is to be friends with everyone. And no matter where and no matter how, I want to be friends with everyone. And I want to spread the word of Cliff King, a friend of all. Horse racing and thoroughbred racing is a lot of fun. They tell me I used to be a trainer. Okay, fine, I won't argue with them. I don't remember any of it, but...
You have no memory of being a horse trainer.
Not now, not today, but generally by noon.
I know, a lot of the cobwebs clear out because I was talking with his daughter. Is Angeline there?
Yeah, Angeline's going to come pick me up and take me over to Eggs and Things.
Now, Eggs and Things, you have breakfast there in the morning, right?
No, I have dinner there at night. Yes, Eggs and... What, are you going to go to a place like that?
Hey, Phil, what? You're not going to go to Eggs and Things and have dinner. Jesus H.
Never sorry.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Phil, I have nothing against you, but I've had better... the kid that interviewed me, Danny Bonabed, Danny Ducci. Do you remember this guy, Danny Ducci?
Danny Bonaducci?
That's him right there. He did a better interview with me, and I don't even think he got into work that day. I think he interviewed me from his house. And I thought he was on the air, and he said, no, I'm still in bed. And I said, are you going to be on the air? And he said, what's it to you? And I remembered seeing him take that guy and drop him on the stage floor, just pulled him over his head. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, well, I had that in my mind, and I didn't push the issue. But Danny Ducci, what is it?
Danny Bonaducci is the guy that interviewed you.
Danny Bonaducci, great interview, but I didn't want to be dropped on a floor on my head or anything else, so that's what I did what I did, and I do the things that I do. I've got, can I get some coffee, please? Do the things that I do.
Well, so when's your daughter going to come and get you?
She just picked me up. I'm here.
You're at Eggs and Things?
Yeah.
When did she pick you up? Because 2 minutes ago, you said you were waiting for her.
Well, I guess she picked me up between then and now. What's the story?
Phil, obviously, you know, do the math.
Yeah, do the math, man.
Phil, you got to do the math.
Yeah, do the math, Mr. Henry.
Do the math, Mr. Henry.
I know, I'll do the math. Obviously, she picked you up and you live something like two... I didn't hear... That TV that's on in the background, what is that?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, we're talking to Cliff King, and he is the former trainer, although he doesn't remember really doing any of that, and a thoroughbred trainer. We're commenting, although we haven't really, on the Triple Crown. Cliff, you wanted to mention to me... we had talked earlier, before you came on the air... about your physical fitness regimen?
Yes.
Now, you're 75, 76 years old.
I'm 77 years of age, and I am a friend to everyone. I go from town to town. And I keep myself in the peak of health by drinking pure rainwater and eating cut broccoli and cauliflower and that kind of thing. I also eat the lean, very, very lean, almost you can see through the tuna steak. I don't eat beef, I eat tuna steak, and it's very lean to the point where if it was a dress, you'd see everything. If a woman wore the tuna that I eat, well, first of all, the smell would be the same. What?
Nothing.
That was absolutely... I'm getting up and leaving, Cliff. I think you're a fraud.
Suit yourself.
That was pretty damn bad.
What was?
What you just said was pretty damn bad. If a woman wore a dress made out of the tuna that I eat, first of all, the smell would be the same.
Right. You didn't let me finish. What I was about to say would redeem the first half of my sentence, but you didn't let me finish. She gets up, she leaves. General, what do you think?
Well, I'm taken back as well.
You're taking what back?
I'm taken aback.
I was going to say, Phil, if a woman wore a dress out of the tuna that I eat... Not only would the smell still be the same, but you could see right through it, and you'd get an eyeful.
Okay, how does that redeem the first half of that sentence?
I feel it does, because I think it, well, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I think it does.
Why?
Because I just do.
Yeah, you gotta move on, Mr. I don't think this man is...
You know what, Cliff, I think you've got a... You got a problem.
Well, maybe I've got a problem, but I don't see anybody here, and I don't certainly hear anyone there that can take, for instance, one of those really heavy metal posts that they use to string the velvet ropes between at the nightclubs. Take one of those and break it over their own skull. Can you?
Look, Cliff.
Can you?
Cliff, you know, we're not about to have you break something over your head.
Can you, General? I don't think you can.
No, I can't. I'm not a maniac.
Well, that's a very good way of putting it. That's a nice way of stepping outside of the spotlight and putting on someone else.
I wouldn't mind seeing you do it there, Cliff.
What's that?
I wouldn't mind seeing you do it.
Right there, Dickman steps up to the plate. Anybody else? Any takers? I'm taking all bets. I'm taking all the action. Anybody else?
I'll take a piece of that.
How much?
$10.
All right, you, Phil?
I'm not going to bet on you breaking the thing over your head. No.
What are you giving me?
I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll give you 3-1.
You give me 3-1 or 3-2-1?
I'll give you 3-1.
Well, what does 3-1 mean?
That is the combination to my safety deposit box. You can get in there and take everything that's in it if I'm not able to break this over my head.
Well, what have you got in it?
I have no idea. I haven't been in there in years.
Okay, you know, I'm going to hang the phone up unless you get to just break the thing over your head and we're done, all right?
Okay, Phil, that's great. I'll break it over my head, go into a coma, bleed to death here on the floor of this bus station.
You're at a bus station?
Yes, I'm at a bus station. I'm waiting for the bus. Angeline's going to pick me up. She's going to take me to Fresno, and that's where we're going to then, you know, start anew. I don't know if anybody told you any of this stuff.
What are you doing at a bus station?
This is where my daughter's going to pick me up. You know, you don't have to hang up, Phil. I will. Thanks.
Wait. Hold on. You already placed a bet on this thing. Have you got that metal post there?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and break it over your head.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It won't hurt. It won't hurt. It won't hurt. It won't hurt.
Now, what are you doing?
I'm just getting myself prepared. Hold on. It won't hurt. 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 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, come on, will you?
Hold on, Phil. Are you the guy that's breaking this thing over your head, or am I doing it over mine? That's the big question. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
You do it?
I haven't started yet, because you guys won't shut up.
All right, will you hold on, man?
But he's breaking over his head.
He ain't breaking nothing over his head. I bet you that guy isn't at a bus station. I bet you he ain't even 75 years old. I bet you that guy was hired by you, bud. It might be one of your friends for all that. Cliff King, friend to all.
That guy's sitting on a bus, one of those metal poles right over the top of his head.
Yeah. You know what? I'll believe it when I see it, man. Seeing's believing.
Well, you got one right there, Phil. See it, and you can't see it when you're on the radio.
Is he done?
What?
Is he done?
Yes, he is.
Great, then I can come back in here. I think the man is vile. I think he's a fraud. I think that he...
We're going to be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show with more from Cliff King. And get on the phone with him. What's he want to do?
Yeah, Cliff? You going to break it over your head or what? Yeah, get out of here. Said he wants to bust it over my head. And I said, have at it, man. But then he said, yeah, he will. And then,
wait a minute, we were listening to the whole thing there. All you said was, yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I mean, just certain things don't need to be spoken, you know.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks. In the meantime, here are the Slaves, the Upgrade, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Cliff King will be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, buddy, I'm Robert Leonard, reminding you that a backstage pass, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, gets you thousands of hours of archived audio, the greatest radio show in the history of the world, the greatest radio show in the history of planet Earth, the greatest radio show of all time, right there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's the greatest value on the internet other than porn.
Yes, a backstage pass. Sure, porn's better, but second only to porn is the Phil Hendry website for value. cash on the barrelhead, dollar for dollar value for your online subscription.
The Phil Henry Show website. Get a six-month or one-year subscription. Have all access to thousands and thousands of hours of full radio shows. You can't beat it. You can't beat it with a stick. You couldn't beat it with your fists. You couldn't beat it if it was your penis.
The Phil Henry Show website. You'll be glad you did. I'm General Shaw. Make your move. Go ahead, make it.
The slaves in the upgrade here on the Phil Henry Show as we continue to waste time here with Cliff King. This is an abomination.
Well, Phil, you brought him on.
I brought the guy on because everybody loves him. All right, Cliff, you there with me?
I'm right here, Cliff King. And I will tell you that I've taken my fair share of... I've taken a lot from a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever had it. You know, I just listen to you people.
Well, look, Cliff, you've got to come clean here, man. You're messing around. If you got to break that thing over your head, break it over your head.
Man, I'll break it over my head. Better me than you, huh?
Well, wouldn't I love to see that happen?
Yeah, well, you know what? All you got to do is step up to the plate.
Hey, Cliff, you know what, man? I'll hang up on you in about 5 seconds, and then we'll be done with you for the rest of your time on this planet. How does that feel?
Do whatever you want to do. Like, I give a shit.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
No, I didn't know that was going to happen. What happened with this guy?
You guys challenge him and everything. Can't challenge Cliff King.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't challenge Cliff King. Well, how did I know? How did I know I was on the phone with royalty?
Hello? Yeah? No. Mr. Henry doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your nothing. What about it? Says he wants to still bust it over his head. He says he... What? He says he owes you that much. But, yeah, I don't care.
Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Cliff, what are you trying to pull, huh? You know what I said. I said, listen, you're going to break it over your head. Okay, let's get Cliff back on the line here then from wherever you are. Where are you?
I told you I was in San Pedro waiting for my daughter.
You were in Fresno at a bus station waiting for your daughter. You were somewhere, you know, is that your TV that's on?
I don't hear anything.
All right, so, Cliff, go ahead.
All right, I've got here this large metal pole that I picked up out in front of this nightclub here in Long Beach last night. It's in Belmont Shores, and I put it into the trunk of my car, and I came home with it. I'm going to break it over my head. And I have gone into places like Eggs and Things. I wish I'd gone into Eggs and Things. I could talk to a young lady I love there. Her name is Guinevere, and she thinks I'm a real stud. She's 23. But I can impress her if I can break this over my head. I know she's... Genevieve, I know you're listening. Here goes.
Don't screw around, Cliff.
I'm not screwing around. We allow a man to get prepared for what could be the very last thing he does in this world. I'm going to break this thing over my head. It weighs, I'd say, about 30 pounds.
Why are you doing this?
To prove to you that at 76, I'm twice the man any of you are.
Well, I don't, that'll be the day, my friend.
Yeah, well, when you finally get over the stroke, General, and you can say that'll be the day without saying it'll be the day, you let me know.
That's a hot one.
Yeah, you want a hot one? I tell you what, I'll give you a hot one. I'll sew you up in those bed sheets, and I'll throw you onto a bonfire I'm going to light out here, along with all of your possessions. God damn it.
Oh, my God, General, that's violent.
All right, go ahead, Cliff.
All right, here we go. I'm sorry, but I have to feminize myself almost if I'm going to do something like this.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is a guy stalling.
Jesus, what an ass. All right, don't worry.
I did.
Who's this?
Cliff.
That's Cliff?
Oh, I'm Cliff. I did it. I'm bowling my head.
I'm just screwing around. I haven't done it yet. Hold on.
Get out of here.
Phil, what are you doing?
I'm hanging up on the guy. But if that guy calls back, I don't want him on the air. Do you understand?
You call him back right now.
How do you know?
I recognize the blinking light.
And give me the phone. Hey, Cliff, what are you trying to pull? I got all the comedy I need here, man. We can produce all of that we need. I don't need you. Oh, don't give me this horse dung. Don't give me this bull crap. I refuse to believe it. He's telling me that he's going to do this for charity and the lives of orphans depend on it. Bull crap. All right, here we go. Cliff King. And if you don't do it this time, man, I'm hanging up. Never again. Cliff King, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I was just messing around with Phil because people told me you could do that and Phil had a sense of humor. Apparently, they were wrong.
All right, we got the review in. Now go ahead.
And here we go.
Well, you walked right into that, you know?
Yeah, you kind of did, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I did, yeah. You know, there's a reason why they have things called producers.
Here we go again, man. You're going to blame the producer.
There's a reason why they have them. Producers are the ones that vet things. Producers are the ones that figure out whether a guy's for real or not. Producers are the ones... And for 3 weeks, this guy, Cliff King, from the time we started talking to him before the Triple Crown, it's been more than 3 weeks.
Probably it's about 2 months now.
Well, it's just about a month and a half. From the time we first started talking to this knucklehead to today, I thought there was something fishy about this guy.
Oh, well, now you say that, Phil. If you thought there was something fishy, you should have spoken up.
I don't know. I mean, we've had so many people on the air here that have been weird beyond the word weird, that have been creepy beyond the word creepy. It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom. I mean, come on, think about it. You know, think of some of the people we've had. Now, this guy comes on, claims to be able to break things over his head.
Well, I can check him out for you.
Oh, well, that's just great.
Dick, but if you're going to check somebody out, the best thing to have done would have been to check the guy out before he comes on here and starts clucking like a chicken and doing whatever that... Jesus, and what the hell was that?
Well, it sounded like he was tasing himself.
Tasing himself? It sounded to me like he had the recording of that one guy being tased.
No, I think he was tasing himself. That would be my understanding.
Your understanding? Your understanding based on what?
Well, I mean...
That sounded like the recording of that guy that got tased. That guy is full of crap from beginning to end, full of crap. All right, Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He'll be on with us in just a moment.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to the guy.
Phil didn't want to talk to you. He says he's in the middle of a stampede. And he's just been...
Cliff King, help! Help! It's Cliff King.
Okay, so
well, if he was in the middle of a stampede, Phil.
Oh, that would be bad. That would be bad.
Then you have that man's death on your conscience and you don't care.
No, I don't.
All right, I'll call him up and tell him that.
Yeah, you tell him that in the middle of the stampede. Cliff King, friend of all. Okay, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to be joining us here in just a moment to talk about some of the safety tips that one should keep in mind for this holiday season. I say holiday season, for the summer season. Summer is like a holiday, though, man. It's like a marvelous, festive thing that just, that just keeps right on keeping on, man. I love it. Jay Santos will be joining us with that, and I think we'll also have Rudy Canozo on from Jutem Lingerie to talk about some of the summer fashions. But first, let's get Jay up on the line here from the great city of Torrance, California. And Jay, it's nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
Oh, Phil, I'm doing very well. I haven't talked to you since your one-man show at the Hollywood Improv.
That's right. That's right. Jay was at the one-man show, and you were pointing out to me some of the what you thought were safety issues involving the Improv.
Well, I thought that they should have had more well-lit exits and this kind of thing, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. I certainly am grateful for the opportunity to have spoken to people. I'm sorry I got on that one guy's table. He said that my part of my body got close to his nose or face or something.
Well, when you stood on that guy's table and you were looking at something, your crotch...
Yeah, I heard about this.
I was there. I saw it. Your crotch got about an inch from this guy's nose.
Yeah, what is that, your M&M moment?
Excuse me, Phil, not my M&M. I'm trying to look and see my M&M. I'm trying to look and see the lighting.
Well, you're standing on a guy's table, that's all.
All right, I'm standing on a guy's table. He didn't seem to be upset about it. God damn, man. I mean, you really, Phil, have to understand what I'm doing for a living out here. I'm trying to protect lives. I'm trying to save a lot.
You're not doing it for a living. You're doing a volunteer. The thing you do for a living is security guard.
All right, but I mean, you got me there. But what I'm saying is, so to speak, manner of speaking.
Yeah, okay. Jay Sanderson, the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
What does that mean when you go, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm trying to say to you,
I understand, but I need to move this along. Jay Sanderson, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, will be on the beaches of Southern California. I know that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is spread kind of thin, but are you guys going to be actually doing lifeguard duty?
Well, among the great many people that are charged with the safety of the public, we do have our lifeguards, and as we like to take a peek over the shoulder of police, make sure they're taking care of business, we have not yet peeked over the shoulder of the lifeguards, Southern California lifeguards, the L.A. County, Ventura County, Orange County beaches, and all the beaches across America in a similar situation. We'll be out there, and we'll have on the Citizens Auxiliary Police swimming trunks, Citizens Auxiliary Police pith helmets, Citizens Auxiliary Police blue armband, but we will not be wearing shirts, and we will, instead of the Bermuda shorts, we will have on the large baggy blue trunks that will have the very prominent Citizens Auxiliary Police patch on the side of that. If we see anyone that is in need of rescue, anyone that is in need of being taken out of the water because they have a difficult time swimming or have been overcome by the splash of a wave or anything like that, then we will make a move to try to extract that person from the ocean. We do recommend that while body surfing and surfing and getting into deep water looks exciting, fact of the matter is, when a wave comes down on you, like one of the gigantic waves that you do see sometime, they'll come down on top of you, you may never come up. Because what will happen is you get into what's called a washing machine spin cycle situation where the wave is just churning you about and churning you about. And by the time you wash up on shore, there's nothing can be done for you. So I would be very careful if I was you, out in the waves and not to go too far out and to get splashed by a wave.
Now, Jay, you know, people that are experienced swimmers can body surf. People that are experienced surfers can do the same thing. People can get into deep water and be fine. So are you talking about inexperienced swimmers?
I'm talking about anybody, Phil, because you may be the most experienced swimmer in the world. When a wave picks you up and puts you into that spin cycle, you're nothing more. You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing to no one. You can't even be loved at that point. You can't even be respected at that point because you're nothing. And if it's ever happened to you, I knew. I came out of California back in the mid-70s, and I went out of the ocean, and I tried to do some body surfing. I got picked up by a wave. I was crushed down. I was picked up again and then crushed and smashed down yet again. And just when I thought I could come out of the water and maybe breathe a breath of air, I got picked up and crippled up and crushed, you know, and everything. And I was so wiped out and just taken by that wave and toyed with and made to do the bidding of the wave that when I come out of the water, my swim trunks were down around my ankles. Now, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that...
Well, can we take a break and get back to talking to you about the swimming safety and safety during the summer?
Certainly, but I want people to consider that, Phil. So before you start talking about experienced swimmer, have care.
All right, well, world-famous Phil Andrews Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Boy, you know something, anything's better than that Cliff King, but if this guy Santos is trying to tell me that...
I have a few questions for him as well.
Well, you're a mother. You have a young boy.
Well, look, the Delmonico is a very experienced... Delmonico is the kind of kid that would be out there saving the lives, okay, of other swimmers, so I would not... If I were you, I would not worry about the Delmonico. I'm Margaret Gray.
The mother of the Delmonico.
Yes, that's...
All right, we'll be right back. Here's Riff Raff and Love Glaciers on the Phil Henry Show featuring Childish Gambino.
She got the hairy frog.
And we are the world-famous Phil Henry Show on our Listen Live line, as well as tune in free every morning starting at 9 a.m. live, 9 a.m. Pacific, and the podcast dropping every day thereafter, you know, just a little bit after the show. So each and every day we have our free show, our free podcast, and it's live each and every day. And then after 5 days, it goes behind the paywall, and a new one pops right on up in there. If you'll pardon the expression, pops up.
She done got intoxicated, girlfriend is furious. Hey. Just in case, I packed the paper in the briefcase. Rainwater roof taste, Pistol Pete, white Louis suitcase. Who can sing the hook like Frankie Lyman? Chartreuse the Bay, watch David Hasselhoff hell. Or the Allen Iverson braid zigzags on designing. Soft and
this is General Galen Shaw, and I've got one question for you. Have you seen the 2014 corpse? The 2014 corpse, a new hypersonic car from Bovine. The new 2014 corpse can go faster than the speed of sound. That's right, but it has to be elevated. It cannot do it on a road. It must be flying. And right now we're trying to get FAA clearance, and then it's yours. You can fly that thing all over the skies, ramming into other people and even crashing into people's houses. It's the hypersonic 2014 corpse. And remember, they don't call it a corpse for nothing. I made that up. The people...
That's great.
Nigga, hold up. What is this? We ain't supposed to be here. Yeah, your name wasn't on that list. We even checked the email that was sent from up above. Or rather, all around us. Screams in my dreams like a One Direction concert. So we're on our own. So alone in the universe. We sent people to the moon. And now we know just the two of us by heart. My heart, I don't want to explain it. Instagrams with his fans, man, he wish he was famous. Stop talking about
that's Riff Raff on an album called Neon Iron and Love Glaciers with Childish Gambino. That's good.
That's a click to pick.
That is a click to pick here on the Phil Henry Show. I like that. All right. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is on the line with us. We're going to get back to him in just a moment, but we also have, we got to get to our main man. We haven't talked to him at all, and that is Bob Bacon. Bob Bacon up in the chopper telling us about the traffic this morning. Bob, how's it going?
Bill, I'm here downtown here, looking around the side track. And in the foothill areas, we've got a lot of visiting a break. There's a guy taking a break down there, taking a pee in a creek. This is Bob Bacon, and this is traffic.
Hey, this is Bud Dickman, and reminding you that the Bud Dickman Comedy Festival is coming. That's right, a lineup of comedians, and there's going to be beer, and we're going to have pork chops, and everything. The Bud Dickman Comedy Festivities will be starting shortly this summer at my house.
Mine goes round like a roundabout.
You know, if that's true, I gotta be there.
It's true. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it.
Oh, my God.
I don't mean any gay by that.
The Bud Dickman Comedy Festival.
That's right. That's right.
Sweeter than spring.
All right, Phil Henry Show with our good close personal friend here, Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking with Jay about the summer months and safety at the beach, safety everywhere, as Jay and the Citizens Auxiliary Police fan out to try to help us all make our way this summer. So, Jay, you were talking about swimming.
I'm talking about the Citizens Auxiliary Police has their eye on the beaches of Southern California. Now, the lifeguards are not particularly aware, I don't think, Phil, of how violated and how humiliated you can be when you come out of the ocean after you've been smashed down and crushed down. As I was mentioning, I had come out to California mid-70s, and I was out at the beach, and I was out body surfing. Everyone said to me, hey, why don't you go body surfing? And I'm saying, well, what's that? And they go, it's just catch the wave and swim it in. I said, I had to swim a wave in, and that doesn't sound like no big deal. So I went out. And I started to body surf the wave, and I body surfed and body surfed and body surfed. And the wave picked me up and crushed me down to the bottom of the sea. And
well, you mean the bottom of the sea. I mean, you're only out about
Can I finish what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll get to you, Dickman, in a minute, okay? Because I anticipate you butting in.
Yeah, well, you said the bottom of the sea.
Shut up, bud. Let him finish.
So, thank you, Phil. So, I was picked up by the wave, and then I was smashed down to the sand. And just when I thought, oh, thank God, that's all, that's the worst that can happen, I got picked up again and crushed down again. And I sort of panicked then.
Because I thought, right now, the wave is doing anything it wants of me. I'm like the wave's bitch, and I you know, said that to myself and to, you know, which there was nobody there to say it to. Because if there was, they would not have been able to have heard me. So I was thinking...
You're in a panic. You're thinking...
You're thinking that you're going to die?
I never think I'm going to die, because as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I do have options on how to deal with a wave. But the wave was disrespecting... And I know that a wave can't disrespect you, but it's all about respect. And I got picked up again. I got crushed down. And by the time I crawled onto the sand, my underwear had been pulled. I mean, my swimming trunks, but it's the same thing. You always think of it as underwear, because I wear my swimming trunks as underwear if I know I'm going to go to the beach.
You had your swimming trunks on under your... Were you wearing your clothes in the ocean?
No, sir. I wasn't wearing my clothes.
No, he was thinking of his swimming trunks.
You were in your swimming trunks.
I was in my swimming trunks, yeah, but... So I got out, or I mean, I crawled onto the sand, and my shorts had been pulled down to around mid-shin to ankle, and I had no underwear on. You don't wear underwear with your swimming trunks, you know that, right?
You know, it's funny, it's interesting, but some people have taken to wearing underwear with their swimming trunks.
Well, do you?
No, I don't, but there's some people who do.
Well, I didn't, and the wave had picked me up and smashed me down and picked me up and smashed me down, and then when I come out, my butt and everything is hanging in the breeze, and I heard people going, ha ha. You know, there were a lot of people was laughing. And I said to myself, I'll never allow that to happen again without making sure that people are more informed about safety. And that's what's really driven me all these years.
Jay, this is Margaret. Now, I'm reading in the Citizens Auxiliary Police summer 2014 bulletin. A wave is a powerful and despicable thing. While it is simply a force of nature, it can do things to humiliate, to use, to manipulate, and to exploit you. Could you describe what you mean by that?
No. What does that mean?
Yeah.
All right, let him explain.
What I mean by that, Margaret, is while a wave is simply a force of nature, it's not a person, it's not a thing, it's not an entity. A wave will do to you worse stuff than any human could ever do to you. It will torture you. It will slap you around. It will pick you up and crush you down. And then when it's all done, pulls your pants down and then kicks your ass out of the water and goes, ha-ha. Now, I know the wave's not really going ha-ha, but it's brought me to a point where I feel a certain resentment. And that's why I want to be out there with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and, of course, the Citizens Auxiliary Squids and the Squidettes. And
now, what are the Squids and Squidettes?
Those are our youth corps. And
oh, you have young people helping you.
Yes, we have young kids anywhere from 22 to 45. And what we do...
Well, what do you mean young kids, 22 to 45?
Well, that's our youth corps, but I mean, I can't discriminate or anything.
Well, I thought you meant like... When you talk about a youth corps, aren't you talking about kids?
Oh, you're not going to have no kid. Do you want to rely on some little teeny kid to drag you out of a wave that's already humiliated you to the point where pull your pants down? No, I don't need that, and I sure as hell don't want to come out of the wave after having my pants pulled down to have some 8-year-old girl standing there and going, oh, here, Mr. Santos, let me help you, you know, save your life, even though your pants are pulled down. I can't...
Well, that is a good point.
Well, the whole premise sounds kind of whack, if you want my opinion.
What's that supposed to mean?
All I'm telling you, Jay, is if you're out there in the ocean and you are drowning and you need help, you need help. Now, you call them the Squids and Squidettes. It sounded to me like there was a sort of a youth corps thing. I see the kids every day on the beach being trained in life-saving procedure. They have the lifeguards.
Yeah, right there. Phil's right. The lifeguards train these kids every day, Santos. What do you think you're trying to pull?
Hey, wait a second. What do you mean what am I trying to pull? I'm saying our Squidettes are Squid and Squidette. Okay, and we got the Squid Squidette. That's 22 to 45. If you want a youth corps, we do have 18, 22, and those are the clams. And you could be a bucket of clam. If you're a bucket of clams...
Wait, hold on for a minute. What's a bucket of clams?
Do you mind if I explain it? This is our youth corps, ages 18 to 22. That's our first level. You're in a bucket of clam, and you're a clam.
I think that what you're doing here is a dumb thing. It sounds dumb.
Margaret... You know, I'm used to the insult.
No, I'm not insulting you. I don't mean to, but I'm just telling you it's dumb. Dumb. D-U-M-B. Dumb, what you're doing. You've got the squidettes and the squids, a bucket of clams.
Ms. Gray, you're starting to laugh.
No, I am not laughing. May I be excused?
No, you may not. No, you may not.
I beg your pardon?
No, you may not. I've got people getting up and leaving the studio all the time. No.
What a dick.
Boy, you know, Mr. Henry, you put up with... You're giving me a hard time about having my pants yanked down. Listen to that.
I'm not giving you a hard time about having your pants yanked down. I am saying this. I doubt very seriously whether anything you're doing with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, whether it's with the squids and squidettes, whether you're a clam or in a bucket of
I'm just trying to tell you. Have you been in a wave and you've been crushed down and your pants come down?
What is it with you and the pants coming down, man?
It happens. Tell me it don't happen.
Of course it happens. Yes, it does happen. Women lose their tops. Guys have their pants yanked down. That's the ocean. It's a marvelous thing. It's powerful. It happens. But I don't certainly look upon it as I'm doing battle with something that's intent on humiliating me. You know, the forces of nature are such that one, you know, you take your chances. The ocean is something we all ought to be familiar with. You shouldn't ever get into any body of water if you don't know how to swim.
Well, see, right there, I disagree, because there's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. There's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. And what are you going to say to them? You can't go out there? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to say to them. No, you cannot go. Do you know how to swim? No, I don't. Well, you don't get to go out there. Otherwise, we got to go drag your dead ass out of that water, man. And that means extra paperwork for me.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Ring, you can quote Burt Lancaster and from here to eternity all you want.
That's it. I just placed it. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, you're welcome. But here's the bottom line on all of that.
No, the bottom line on it is you coming out of the water with your pants down. And you take that to being a devastatingly humiliating experience.
I'll just leave it that. Let the audience decide. All right, the audience decide. If you go into any situation where you're picked up and squished down, and crushed down and squished down, and then you try to breathe and it squishes you again, and then as you crawl to safety, the last thing it does is goes ha 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 and pulls your pants down. That's the ocean, and you got to have some serious, not just respect for that, but you got to turn around and tell it you're never going to do that again.
Look, Jay.
Oh, hold on for a minute.
This is an emotional part for him, Phil.
I was there in 1975. I come out of the water with my pants down. I swore.
Jay.
No, I swore. I would never let no ocean do it again.
Thank you for your service to our community.
That's all I'm looking
for. Thank you for your service to our community. I think, in my opinion, and I know you're a safety expert, so tell me, is teaching people how to swim.
You're never going to teach nobody how to swim, Mr. Henry. You're never going to teach nobody how to swim. It's something that's just beyond the ability of a lot of people. They just don't. They're too uncoordinated and I don't mean to say it, but too spastic and retarded.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jay, for that, and I hope and pray that in the future days and future years that no more people get crushed and squished and have their pants pulled down by the ocean.
Why don't I believe you?
All right, thank you very much, Jay.
But why don't I...
You know, I take your side, but you were a little cruel with him.
Yeah, he started to get emotional there, Henry.
Hey, since when am I Henry all of a sudden?
Well, you call me Shaw, don't you?
No, I do not. I call you General Shaw. I don't like that Henry stuff.
I'm sorry. Mr. Henry.
No, call me Phil. You can call me Phil.
Yeah, I'd call you Mr. Henry, though.
Yeah, you do, because I demand that you do. You too, Robert, but you can call me Phil.
Say, all of a sudden, you got a real... What is it with you with the hard-ass act? I'm just trying to tell you, this guy Santos had an emotional break there. After the ocean, he comes out of the ocean, he's got nothing on. He's got nothing on but his ass... Getting singed by all that wind. Have you ever had a... Has your ass ever been bare in a high ocean wind? No, it hasn't. Mine has. What are you laughing at?
I'm just wondering, when was that?
Yeah, when was that?
Oh, when was that? Excuse me.
Hey, General, you want to get some of you will?
No, and get your paws off of me.
Has your ass ever been singed in a high ocean wind?
Well, you know what I mean.
I know the wind gets going out there, man. There's no question about it. No question about it. Man, I'll tell you, and some days on the beach, and we were up at Big Sur, I don't know, I was up there 7 or 8 years ago. We were down on the sand there at Julia Pfeiffer Beach.
Yes, is that the bee? It's named after the lady that used to draw the cartoons.
No, that's Jules Pfeiffer. That's the cartoon. This is Julia Pfeiffer. Has nothing to do with Jules Pfeiffer, the guy. You mean the guy that wrote Carnal... Is that the guy that wrote Carnal Knowledge?
Yes. Didn't they named a beach after him?
No, they did not name a beach after him. And if they did, they got his gender wrong. No, Julia Pfeiffer Beach is
Ben Big Sur, I know it well, Phil. We have very dear friends who live up there. Constance and Bill Beckett, you know them. They have the home under the High Arch Bridge. We've known them for years. We always vacation with them, so I'm very familiar with Big Sur. I just wanted to know, was Julia Pfeiffer the one that drew the cartoons for the L.A. Times? You've disabused me of that. Thank you. You've humiliated me.
Yeah, I've pulled your pants down as you come out of the surf.
Yes.
Anyway, we went up on the beach. The wind will get going so hard that, it is a son of a bitch up there, man. You know, and you got to take shelter where you can find it. You get behind all, they got all those dead logs on the beach and everything. And the wind has been blowing down here. I don't know what the story is, you know, other than the fact that the world's coming to end because it's climate change and all that stuff. But there sure has been a hell of a lot of wind over the last, like, 12 months around here, man. And I'm telling you, it ain't all that boogie-woogie on one's paint job. All right.
Yeah, no kidding about that, Mr. Henry.
All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with more here. And here is T.I. with a thing called No Mediocre. And this is with Iggy Azalea. So how about that, huh?
Iggy Azalea, you know, I've changed my mind about her.
Fuck bad bitches, I don't want no mediocre. No, don't want no mediocre, I don't want no mediocre. No, bad bitches only, ain't no mediocre. No, don't want
the world-famous Phil Henry Show, this coming Friday at 12 noon for the BSP-a-thon. Join us on the Listen Live line or tune in and hear free for 12 hours archive material. Some of the great comedy and radio history right here, right there, right now for you. Yes, you, and only you. It's the Phil Henry Show, BSP-a-thon, 12 noon Friday.
Pacific time and East and 3 o'clock
Eastern time.
Eastern time.
She don't have. And one of these, well, I think I passed. I just handed her the key to a new dry jam. When she took it, I took it back. You should have asked for a bean. That mediocre bad bitches. I don't want no mediocre. I don't want no mediocre. I don't want no mediocre. No bad bitches only.
So what about her?
Well, this Iggy Azalea, I just found out that she comes from Australia.
Iggy Azalea is in this song, right?
I think so, yes.
And she's from Australia.
Yes.
Heard he wanna lay
right here.
Iggy gave it to him twice. Now he wanna three Mike Bibby Diva, but I need a bad boy. Rest in peace, Whitney, part of me. But I don't think none of these bitches fucking with me. Why a billboard bitch stop?
See, now here's my point about Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea.
Would you shut up? What?
You know how the kids say keeping it real? Do you think some kid from Australia is keeping it real when they are trying to sound urban American?
If you ain't talking,
yeah.
Well,
no, well. Let's see. Now that's not keeping it real.
Well, Margaret, that's the way the kids do it. They copy the popular idiom.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if it's music that's it sounds a certain way, it sounds a certain way.
What is that supposed to mean? It sounds a certain way, it sounds a certain way. Iggy Azalea is an Australian girl, which means she grew up with that. I don't know how do you do it, Phil? You do an Australian accent.
Fast as lager.
Yeah, that's perfect. Fast as lager.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's how they sound. Do you do anything more, Phil?
I don't know. You know, they go like, Australia, and we're here in Brisbane.
Yes, something like, something like that.
Oh, Jesus!
Margaret, just when I thought you'd broken the habit.
Well, I haven't. Now, when you're keeping it real, as the kids like to say, and you come from Australia or wherever, you don't sound like this girl with the whole... I wouldn't lower myself to the level that it takes for you to, hold on, God damn it, is that Soraka?
Margaret, never mind.
I wouldn't lower myself to, this shit is real, the way she talks. And the other one was Amy Winehouse, and so on and so forth. So I think there's a great deal of hypocrisy, okay, did you catch that one?
Hypocrisy, is that French?
No, it's not French. It is an alternative pronunciation, that's all. Jeez.
Now, Phil, you know, you got to get with it with these alternative pronunciations. You know that, don't you?
No, I don't know that. I'll just say that, you know, I'll agree with the general on this one. It's the American accent idiom whether it be urban, whether you're trying to sound like, you know, Chicago urban, like when all of the R&B bands or the groups that were trying to be R&B came over from England, they tried to sound. Did you like the Rolling Stones?
Of course I like the Rolling Stones.
Well, who did you think Mick Jagger was imitating? He wasn't imitating anybody in England. He was imitating Wilson Pickett. He was imitating Sam Cooke a little bit. He was imitating, you know, Otis Redding. He was doing his American thing. I mean, the bands that came from Britain that retained the British accent did so because there wasn't any need. They weren't doing R&B. But if you get into a rhythm and blues, look at Eric Burdon. So you move on down through the years, and now you got Iggy Azalea or whoever the hell else, and all these hip-hop artists from around the world all sound like Yanks who come from the middle of, like she said, Miami.
Well, Iggy Azalea came to the United States from Australia, settled in Miami, then she went to Houston.
You know, the kid came up, she worked her ass off. She's not a fake in that sense.
Then why doesn't she do the Australian accent? Right, you know, you could do this. Right, 16 no money in the middle of Miami. Like that, like Eliza Doolittle in The King and I. You know?
You mean Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady?
No. Eliza Doolittle in The King and I.
Eliza Doolittle, yeah.
Not Eliza Doolittle. Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady.
Right.
What did we say?
Eliza Doolittle in The King and I.
Well, Phil, don't say doodle like you're talking about some child that just went in his potty. When I potty trained the Delmonico, we used to say, go doodle.
All right, I'm going to take a break and split off the planet, man. I think we're all done. You know, we reach a certain point on this show where it can't get any dumber, and I think that's exactly where we have. I think that is where we've finally come to stop here on this show. It's been a blast, Margaret. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Well, what about this Jay Santa situation with the?
With the what? With the ocean?
Well, is he going to be out there?
I don't know. If he's going out to the ocean to police people in the surf, if he's gonna be giving the LA County firefighters or the lifeguards advice, then that's, yeah, he's gonna have to put up with that. But to go out into the ocean and claim that it's something that's there to humiliate you and the whole pants pulled down around the ankles, so what? What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what's he gonna do? Kill the ocean?
Gonna try to blow the ocean up.
Well, I don't. Santos is dumb enough. He would try something like that.
So anyway, if you are swimming or surfing or whatever you're doing this weekend, be careful, especially when you're out in the ocean. And it's funny, when you talk to people for the very first time, if they visit either one of the coasts, West Coast, East Coast, or the Gulf, or if they come from the interior of the country, and you're experiencing the ocean for the first time, it's actually pretty awe-inspiring for a lot of people. I remember I was on a boat, and we were heading over to the Channel Islands. And there was obviously a group of people sitting next to me who were, I believe, from the interior of the country, like Illinois or something like that, Iowa. And anyway, there was a guy in a powerboat. The guy had to have been a quarter of a mile to a half a mile away, something like that. It's a long way away, and he's cutting through the surf at a pretty rapid rate. But we're out in the channel, so it's cool. There's no rule against that, so long as you're not driving recklessly. And he wasn't. There was nobody around him, and he's really tearing ass, as they like to say. He's moving a lot of water.
Yay! Cut.
What is it? He's moving a lot of water. What are you all of a sudden, Mr. You know, doodle doo doo doodle. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, General.
Oh, boy, you really turned on me there, bud.
Right.
1 minute it's the next minute, ha ha ha.
Well, what do you mean, moving a lot of water?
That's what the guy was doing, Mr. Army.
I don't know anything about this ocean stuff. And all I know is I don't trust it. And any army that has to move on the ocean, brother, you can have it.
Well, okay, so we'll leave that to the Marines, huh?
Yeah, you leave that to the water wings and little blow-up mattresses. You leave that to the Marines.
Yeah, okay. So these guys were sitting up, and they go, hey, you see that? He's not supposed to get that close, is he? God, look at that guy, man. He's coming. Can he hit? These guys were actually worried.
Well, they're worried that the boat's going to hit them, even though it's far away.
Yeah. They were worried that the boat was going to hit them. I wasn't sitting there laughing at them, but I, you know, your perspective is kind of weird. Now, I'm not saying that if you live in Iowa, you don't necessarily, you don't know anything about the ocean. I'm not saying that at all. There's a lot of people that are familiar with the ocean and live, you know, in areas of the country where there is no ocean. But it's interesting to see people who've never been around an ocean for maybe the first, you know, 20, 30 years of their life to finally be next to one or be in one or be swimming in one, and it'll flip them out a little bit.
Yeah, but there's people that come from California and they go in the ocean, they're all like, wow.
Yeah, no, that's true too. That's the weirdest thing of all. If you come from a state that's close to an ocean, or you meet somebody who comes from a state like California, Washington, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever, Florida, and yet they didn't spend a lot of time in it or around it, when they finally do get into it, it's like, oh my God, did you hear the latest, Phil? No, what's that? Well, I went body surfing the other day. You know, you got to really be careful. No kidding. Yeah, tell me all about it. I mean,
well, they're giving you the benefit of their experience, Phil. Not everyone is a proficient ocean swimmer like you.
I'm not saying I'm proficient at all. I'm saying that all I'm saying is it's you got to be careful, man. You got to be careful. You will get your ass picked up and slammed on it. I walked out of there one day. I thought I was crippled for life. You know?
What are you trying to do anyway? Trying to be some kind of a surf king or something?
Yeah, that's probably what you're trying to do.
I was stupidly out in some water I shouldn't have been in. The waves were too big, and I wasn't that good of a swimmer, and this thing picked me. I remember this thing picking me up, and I was the very top of this thing, this wave, and it had to, you know, it looked big, probably about 6 foot, maybe 4 or 5 feet. But anyway, I'm at the very top of this thing, and just boom, man, I hit that damn sand. And it was like I was tumbling forever underwater, just tumbling, 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 tumbling. And at that point, you feel like you're being swept miles from the shore. And then when you finally get above water.
Yeah, you get above water and you're about 100 feet from where you left your little picnic basket.
Exactly. Yeah, I looked up and there, you know, there was the ocean. So, all right, everybody, we will talk to you guys tomorrow morning starting at 8:30 for our BSP pre-show. And let's see what else. Yeah, our BSP pre-show. At 8:30, then at 9 o'clock, of course, is the regular world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you don't have a backstage pass, go over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. It is the greatest value online other than porn that you're ever going to find. Phil Hendry here for Margaret, Bud, and Robert, and the General. See you tomorrow morning for the pre-show at 8:30, the show at 9 o'clock. Adios.
We're a ghost.
Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. I'm Margaret Gray.
And Bud Dickman. And it pulls your pants down if you go.
Shut your...